This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Masha'Allah, masha'Allah, masha'Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. All praises belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His assistance and guidance, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the adverse consequences of our deeds. And we testify that whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide, and whomsoever He misguides, none can guide. And we request praises and blessings upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there's no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Khadija has super duper strength today, MashaAllah. How are you, Khadija?
Good.
You good? Well, I greeted you all the salam, and I know that Abdullah and Ahmed and Khadija are also passing you all a very special salam. And we have some shout outs that I want to, or call outs. I prefer to call them call outs because as Muslims we speak, we don't shout. Right, so we have some call outs, mashallah, wonderful attendees from yesterday's session, and you are all wonderful attendees collectively. I can only pick a hand few of you, and those picked for today's session that receive a special welcome from all of us here is Zaid Munchi, who is 7 years old from Zambia. Mashallah, Zaid, welcome, and thank you for following all the Young Learners Hubs. This one and our previous ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and bless your parents. Also, Juwairiya from Kuwait, welcome. And Muhammad Ahmed and Ayan Ali from Pakistan, mashallah. Welcome to you all. We have Ishal, who's 10, from Germany, mashallah. We have Mahreen Mujib, who's 6 years old, from Melbourne, mashallah, tabarakallah. We have Imran Abdurrahman and Abdullah Manan from Riyadh, mashallah. MashaAllah, I know you guys. And you had a question yesterday asking about the relationship between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam. And to the best of my knowledge, they were cousins. They were cousins. That is their relationship. They were cousins. All right. And then we have Maryam, Amina, and Ismail from Coventry. We have Maryam and Asia from India. We have Tasneem and Tawfiq from Rugby. MashaAllah, I remember you both. So special welcome to you all. And also we have Rina, who's 10 years old from Bangkok, Thailand.
What's that island?
It's Thailand. Not what's island, but Thailand.
What's Thailand?
Thailand is a country. One day we'll go there, inshallah. And then we can go visit Rina, who's there. She is watching all the way from Bangkok in Thailand, mashallah. A wonderful, wonderful welcome to you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. And I can see, mashallah, people from Malaysia and Indonesia and mashallah, Australia and mashallah, tabarakallah, from the west and from the east. We have people from the south and we have people from the north. I love you all for the sake of Allah. And I reiterate a special, special welcome to you all from myself and the Young Learners Hub team over here in Riyadh. For today's episode, as promised, we're going to continue the story of who?
Ibrahim
alayhi salam. Yes, and yesterday we discussed his story up to the point where he had a son called Ismail alayhi salam. He had another wife and her name was Hajar, and she was the mother of Ismail. And then Allah tested Ibrahim. And remember we said, Allah tests people, right? Why does He test people? He tests us so that we can pass the test, inshallah. And the more tests we pass, the more prizes we get. Remember, every time you pass a test, you get a prize, right? If you're in school, when you pass your test, you can go to the next grade, right? And then you can go to high school. Then you can go to university. So the more tests you pass, the more you can get in terms of presents, right? In terms of opportunities. So the same thing applies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, it's similar, not the same, but the similar concept applies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests those who He loves. Okay? He tests us. Yes, Allah knows everything, but Allah tests us so we can do it, so we can know. Subhanallah. Right? Yeah. So we can know. Allah knows everything. Right? Some people say if Allah knows everything, why do we even have to live? Why don't we just go straight to the day of Qiyamah and go straight to Jannah or Jahannam? Well, if that happened, then people will say, it's not fair. If I had a chance, I would have done this. If I had a chance, I would have done that. That's what people will say. Allah knows us already. Allah created us. So Allah gives us the chance. And Allah knows what we're going to do, but He allows us to live our life and do it for ourselves. And the angels record the deeds, good deeds or bad deeds, right, Khadija? And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will present the deeds. And no one can say, oh no, I didn't get a chance. No, you had the chance and this is what you did. So if you go to the fire, it's because you did the work of the people of the fire. And if you go to Jannah, it's because you did the work of the people of Jannah, right? So life is a test. Allah will test us, yes. But we must understand our whole life is a test. Our entire life is a test. From beginning till end. If Allah gives you something, it's a test. And if Allah doesn't give you something, it's also a test. When Allah gives you something, Allah is testing you. Are you going to thank Allah? Are you going to remember Allah? What are you going to do? Because some people, when they're clever, they say, ah, I'm clever. You see, I did it. See, I'm so good, you know? You know, I practice so much. No, that's failing the test. If you speak like that, you're speaking in a way that doesn't make Allah happy. Now, Allah's testing you. Are you going to remember who helped you, who gave you your eyes, who gave you your hand, who gave you your brain, who gave you your heart? Are you going to remember and say, Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah for the blessings He gave me so I can draw this way and I can write this way and I can learn this way, I can memorize the Quran. Right? Subhanallah. That's a test. Now, some people fail the test, but they don't know that they're being tested because they passed, their parents bought them a present, they might have gone on a holiday, and so on and so forth. So they don't even think they're being tested. They just think, hey, everything is good, but you'll only know on the day of Qiyamah. Right? Because sometimes Allah can reward us for our good deeds whilst we're alive. And then when we go to Allah and we say, Allah, please give us Jannah. We used to do this and we used to do that. Allah will say, I already gave you your presents. Right? Your good health was a present. The holidays was a present. The money you had was a present. The happiness you had was the present. Khalas, you got all your presents. Now somebody will say that, okay, but I don't want to be sad on earth. I want to be happy and I also want to be happy on the day of Qiyamah. I want to be happy both ways. Right? Can I be happy both ways? Yes, you can. How can you be happy both ways? When you're happy now, you thank Allah. If you thank Allah, Allah will keep you happy now and keep you happy on the day of Qiyamah. You see the trick?
Yes.
But if you're happy now and you don't thank Allah, you will only be happy now and you won't be happy on the day of
Qiyamah.
So this is what we mean when we say life is a test. Allah is always testing us. But some people Allah tests more than others, like Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah tested him and said, take your little boy and take your wife and leave them in the middle of nowhere. But subhanallah, he did it, and the middle of nowhere is known as Makkatul Mukarramah. A hustling, bustling city which millions visit yearly. And it every year. And it has so much water and so much food. Nobody's hungry. Everyone's eating. When you go for Ramadan or you go for Hajj and you're in the Haram at Maghrib time, if you're fasting on Monday and Thursday especially, there's over 1 million people there, but everyone has dates to eat. We break fast in the Haram. You see them on TV. For those who didn't go to Mecca, you see them on TV, right? Everyone has food. But once upon a time, nothing existed there. Subhanallah. Do you see? If you be patient and you put your trust in Allah, great things can happen. You want to pass your exams, you have to study. You want to play games, but you have to be patient. You can't play games, I have to study. I'm going to study and put my trust in Allah. I want to play football. No, but I have to study. That's hard. Okay, it's hard, but be patient and do it. And at the end, you'll see great things beyond your imagination. And that's today's lesson. Today's part of the story of Ibrahim is a story of patience. Yesterday's story was a story of tawakkul and patience, but we focused on tawakkul. Not tawakkul. Remember tawakkul, where you put the empty pot and you think and you think things are just going to pop out of the pot. Right? Not tawakkul, but tawakkul, where you do your best and you put your trust in Allah. Today we want to focus on patience. Why patience? Well, Ismail alayhi salam was growing up in Makkah now with his mummy and this new tribe that settled there. Ibrahim alayhi salam, no doubt, missed his son. So he would visit Ismail regularly. He would come from Palestine all the way to Makkah, see Ismail, see Hajar, and go back to Palestine when he was done. Come back after so many weeks, visit his family in Makkah. Long journey, weeks under the hot sun. Subhanallah, scary. No police, no services, no garages, no places to buy drinks and coffee and tea, etc., etc. Just one journey. There were desert bandits who used to exist. They used to hide behind the sand dunes like thieves. Bandits are like thieves. And they wait for you to come and then they pounce on you and take your money. All that existed. But he would go and meet his son and his wife and go back to Palestine. And years passed like this. Now, some of the scholars of Tafsir say around 10 to 12 years passed like this. And now Ismail alayhi salam was about 12 years old or 14 years old. And during the days of Hajj, now today is the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, we're in Saudi Arabia, and we know that the Hujjaj are going to Mina. So pay attention, okay? Because we're going to talk about these days in relation to Ibrahim alayhi salam. But before the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, we can imagine, when we look at the different narrations of the scholars and what they told us about what happened, before the 8th of Hijjah, the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, Ibrahim alayhi salam started seeing a dream. When you sleep, you see a dream? Oh, you're asking, what was the dream? Okay. He saw himself sacrificing his son. You know, like when you sacrifice an animal?
How do you sacrifice?
A sacrifice is when you have to slaughter something. But I'll explain that to you after, okay?
Okay.
All right. Because everyone in the Young Learners Hub knows. So I will explain to you a bit after the session, okay? Remind me, okay, Khadija? He was sacrificing his son, right? Well, you take a knife and you have to sacrifice something. You cut something. When you sacrifice, you're doing it for the sake of Allah. So he sees this dream, but he doesn't think much of it. But he sees it again, and he sees it again. During which days? The days of Dhul Hijjah. On the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, like today, hundreds of years ago, over 1,000 years ago, he started thinking about this dream over and over again. Thinking. This is called rawa yurawi tarwiyatan. What does rawa you mean? Rawa means it means somebody is contemplating over something, thinking about something. Over and over again, contemplating, pondering. When did he do that? On the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. This is what some of our scholars tell us. The 8th of Dhul Hijjah is known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah. It's known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah for two reasons. One reason is because the people used to gather their water on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. So like today, right? They would prepare to go from Mecca to Mina, right? But they would make their camels drink a lot of water. So the camels had water to last the days of Hajj. And they would fill their leather sacks. They used to have leather sacks with water. Okay? And because leather can keep things cool. So they used to have leather sacks back in the day. Not like containers. We have plastic containers today. They had leather sacks. And they used to put water in it. They used to have a lot of leather sacks. And they used to fill it with water and tie it to the animals. So they could use it to cook and to drink and to make wudu. Right? Tarwiyah carries this meaning as well. A meaning of to be quenched and to gather water and to have sufficiency with regards to water. So it's called Yawm al-Tarwiyah because that's what they used to do on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. But also if we go back in time to our to the father of the prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam, some of the scholars say that it's called Yawm al-Tarwiyah because he was doing this contemplation. Because from the meanings of Tarwiyah, he used to think. He's thinking, what is this dream? Why am I seeing it over and over again? This can't just be a your normal dreams that we have when we go to sleep. And then on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, Arafa Ibrahimu Ma'ana Ru'ya. Arafa. Arafa, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah is called the day of Arafa. Wa Ibrahim Arafa Ma'ana Ru'ya. Arafa means to know. On the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, he knew, subhanallah, this is from Allah. He wants me, he's testing me. My only son, he wants me to sacrifice him. Subhanallah. Arafa, Ibrahim knew. Now we don't know if on the 9th also Ibrahim made his son know. So his son also knew. But we know on the 10th was the day they went and did the sacrifice. Alright? So the 9th is known as Arafa for two reasons. Number one, because the Hujjaj, the pilgrims go to the plains of Arafa, a place on earth known as Arafa. And they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. So it's the place is called Arafa and the day is called Arafa. But also it's called Arafa from the meaning to know, because Ibrahim alayhi salam knew that Allah has revealed to him a test. Ibrahim, your son when he's 2 years old, it's fun. Take your son away. Now when your son is 14 years old, it's going to be even more fun. This is what Allah wants you to do. Are you going to choose your son or are you going to choose Allah? Are you going to choose what's in your heart? Now, what's in your heart is what you're going to do. But no doubt, every father and mother has their children in their heart. Right, boys and girls? Yes. Your mommy and daddy, they tell you to do a lot of things. You might not like it, but you have to know that you are in their hearts. They love you so much. If anything happened to you, they will be the first ones there. You know, sometimes we get, my mommy, she's not being cool. My daddy's not cool. He's making me sleep early. But I want to watch the match. Some daddies are cool. They wake you up for the lift, for the trophy lifting, right? Some daddies do that. What do you guys think? When they're winning the trophy. Does your daddy wake you? Some daddies wake you up. What do you guys think? Right? But some mummies and daddies say, no, you have school tomorrow. You have to sleep. Now, I know it hurts your heart. And you feel they're not being cool. My friend's waking up. My neighbors are staying up. They watching the match. And then shaitan makes you think that your parents are not cool. Your parents don't love you. But no, your parents love you. They love you so much. That's why they're making you do something. Allah loved Ibrahim more than anybody. But Allah made him do this. Tested him.
Better than Nuh.
Allah loved Nuh alayhi salam also. Allah loved all his prophets.
Even Adam alayhi salam.
Yes, Allah loved him also. Allah created him with his hands. Adam was the first person. We are all the children of Adam alayhi salam. So Allah tested Ibrahim, and Ibrahim knew on the 9th that he had to do this. It's a test from Allah. Ibrahim loved his son, no doubt. But who comes first? My son or Allah? Who gave me Ismail?
Allah.
Who are we? Who's going to give us Jannah?
Allah.
Who gave me Hajar?
Allah.
So, who does Ismail belong to?
Allah.
He really belongs to Allah. He really belongs to
Allah.
So, Ibrahim, he felt what he felt, but he's going to put Allah first. So, he went to Ismail and he taught Ismail. He didn't just tell Ismail. We don't understand that he just told Ismail, this is what we have to do, yalla, let's go. No, he spoke to Ismail about Allah and who is Allah. And no doubt over the years in all the travel from Palestine to Mecca, he was teaching Ismail. And we see this in the Quran, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah As-Saffat, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when Surah As-Saffat, Allah tells us that when Ismail alayhi salam reached the right age, and we can deduce from this also the right moment, the moment to be told what Allah wants to happen. He made sure Ismail was ready so that Ismail didn't lose his Islam at that moment, because this is a test, it's a big test, right? right? You're going to pass away. You're going to go away. You're going to leave your mummy, leave your baba, right? It's a big test also for the children, right? So Ibrahim spoke to him in a way to make sure he's ready to learn what Allah wants. قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ Ibrahim said to his son, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى Subhanallah, Ibrahim says to Ismail, I see in my dream that I am sacrificing you, O Ismail. What do you think about this, my son? Tell me your views, tell me your thoughts. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Imagine this, father, son, having this conversation. But it's from Allah, and we're doing it for the sake of Allah. Whoever puts Allah first will never finish last. What does Ismail say? He turns to his father. And remember, Ibrahim is a human being. He's thinking in his mind when he was a small boy and his father wanted to kill him by throwing him into the fire. So Ibrahim is thinking how he felt as a young boy. And now he's telling his young boy that you're going to be sacrificed, meaning your life is going to be taken. But the circumstances are different. When Ibrahim was small, that was falsehood. People were doing it for their idols. But now it's being done for the sake of Subhanallah. Look at this test. What does Ismail say? قَالَ يَا أَبَتِي He said, oh my dear father, اِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ He said, do what Allah is commanding you to do. It shows you Ismail understood that this dream is coming over and over again, meaning the command is coming over and over again. He didn't say, do what you were commanded to do. He said, do what Allah is commanding you to do. Because he knows Allah is still commanding Ibrahim to do it. There's no choice in the matter. Is it going to be easy for me? No. سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ He says, my dear father, it's not going to be easy, but you're going to find me from the patient. I told you, today especially is a story of patience. What is patience, boys and girls? Patience is to do that which Allah told you to do, even if it's hard. That's patience. To stay away from something that Allah told you to stay away from, even when it's hard. That's patience. Your heart wants to do it, but you fight yourself. Your soul wants to do it, but you fight yourself. You know your parents told you not to do it. Your friends at school are telling you to do it. Shaitan is telling you, no one will see you. Your parents are not here. Don't worry, just do it. But you know, no, my parents told me Allah said it's wrong. Everything is pushing you to do it, but you fight yourself and say, no, I'm not going to do it. Shaitan's going to tell you, the people are going to say, you're just a mummy's boy. You're just a daddy's boy. You're just weak. But you don't like what they're telling you. But you fight. You be patient. You don't allow yourself to fall. Say, no, no matter what happens to me, I'm not going to disobey Allah. That's patience. And then to do that which Allah tells you to do, with like pray salah, for example. Shaitan comes to you and tells you, no, you're tired, sleep. Sleep, you're too tired. It's Fajr, sleep. Don't wake up. But you fight. You know Allah wants you to pray. So you wake up. You fight your sleep. You fight Shaitan. It might be winter and the water's too cold. Right? And Shaitan tells, water's too cold. You say, no, I'm going to put this cold water. This cold water is going to save me from the fire of Jahannam. This cold water is going to put out the fire of Jahannam. Go away, Shaitan. That's patience. And Ibrahim and Ismail had patience. And patience also is when something happens that you don't like, that hurts you, you don't leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you get close to Him. That is also patience, right? That is also patience, right? You fail the exam, but you still believe in Allah. You don't talk bad about Allah. You don't think bad about Allah. That's patience. You tried your best, but you failed the exam. You wanted to go on that holiday, but then COVID-19 happened. You couldn't go on the holiday. So you be patient. You don't complain. That's also patience. You be happy with what Allah does. And this is Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. Ibrahim was patient to do it. Ismail was patient to take it. And they were patient with the situation. This is patience. Now, this is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, which is tomorrow. the day of Arafah. And look how Allah loves this day, that He makes the Hujjaj stand on Arafah. And also Allah says, He taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever fasts the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, which is tomorrow, the day Ibrahim knew and he made Ismail know, and they both made Allah happy that they're going to go ahead with it for the sake of Allah and be patient, Allah tells those who are not performing Hajj to do an act of patience. What is the act of patience? Fasting. Fasting is an act of patience. You want to eat, but you be patient. I'll wait. You want to drink, but you be patient. I'll wait. I'll eat at night. I want to fast. I want to stay away from eating and stay away from drinking for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's patience. So Allah makes the whole world practice the act of patience, which is fasting. And there's an ayah in the Quran in which Allah says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, that seek assistance in sabr and salah. Some of the scholars of tafsir have said sabr means fasting. Seek assistance by fasting and by salah. Allah called it sabr and not fasting because you need sabr to fast. The quality of fasting is patience. And we fasted Ramadan, right? You have to be patient. You're looking at the clock. How long to go? How long to go, right? But and then, you know, Baba tells you, khalas, go drink water, shame. And you say, no. I'm going to be patient. Allah will be happy with me. I'm going to fight it, right? That is patience, brothers and sisters in Islam and boys and girls. So Ibrahim now on the 9th, this becomes known to him and known to Ismail, inshallah. And it's a day of amazing patience. So Allah makes us fast on this day. And whoever fasts the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, Allah will forgive 2 years of minor sins. 2 years of minor sins. One fast, but Allah will forgive 2 years of minor sins, subhanAllah.
Minor sins.
Your small sins. Not your big sins, your small sins. Now, we have the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. What happened on the 10th? I'm going to have to speed up a little bit because our time's running out. I hope you don't mind. We will go a bit longer today because I want to finish the story nicely. But I will speed up a little bit, okay? On the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah is known as Yawmun Nahr. Yawmun Nahr is known as the day of sacrifice. The day of sacrifice. Why is it the day of sacrifice? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam put the knife to the neck of his son Ismail on this day, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. Where? In Mina. Where the Hujjaj are going to today. Right? It's a small Hajj this year, but you can watch it online. They're showing the Hujjaj doing the Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik, Inna alhamda. Yalla Khadija, wa ni'mata, laka wal mulk, la sharika lak. Thank you, Khadija. MashaAllah, Khadija remembers. So the Hujjaj are going to Mina. Ibrahim on the 10th went with his son to Mina. From Mecca to Mina. Now, Shaytan, who loves people to disobey Allah, he was scratching his head, if he has a head. We haven't seen Shaytan. But he... I don't know, you know. Khadija found it funny. So, what happens? What happens? Shaytan is watching all this thinking, My word, this Ibrahim and Ismail, these two people are amazing. This is crazy. I thought I don't even need to do anything. Ibrahim is not going to listen to Allah. And Ismail is not going to listen to Allah. But they're both listening to Allah. They're both going to do this. Now remember, Shaytan told Allah that I am better than them. And I will take them all to the hellfire. So he wanted Ibrahim and Ismail to go to the hellfire. So Shaytan was loving it. Allah is telling Ibrahim to slaughter his son. Shaytan was loving it. But all of a sudden, hold on, the opposite is happening. They're going to do it. So Shaytan said, no, I need to do something. What does he do? He brings three of his other shaytans, or shayateen, and he sends them to stop Ibrahim. So one shaytan comes and says, Ibrahim, what are you doing? This is your only son. You can imagine what Shaytan was saying. Right? Shaytan doesn't want him to do it. Remember, Ibrahim wanted a son because no one was worshipping Allah. He wanted a son to worship Allah. Then that son can have children who will worship Allah. So he wanted people to worship Allah. So you can imagine Shaytan using trickery. Shaytan is very tricky. telling Ibrahim that, what are you doing? This is your only son. If you slaughter the son, who's going to worship Allah after you? Does Shaitan want anyone to worship Allah?
No.
Huh?
No.
No, he doesn't want anyone to worship Allah. But he'll use that trick against you. He'll use it as a trick. To make you disobey Allah now, he'll trick you. Say, who's going to worship Allah after you, Ibrahim? Come on, Ibrahim. Come on. What are you doing? Ibrahim was not having it. Ibrahim picked up 7 stones and pelted the shaitan. Every time saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. 7 times he pelted the shaitan, saying, not rocks, pebbles, pebbles. Okay? Pebbles are small stones, okay? All right, otherwise, if people think it's rocks, they might be going for Hajj next time with rocks in their suitcase. Now, we don't want any rocks in the suitcase. Some people, now during Hajj, you will see on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the 11th and the 12th, and if they stay on the 13th, you will see the pilgrims throwing stones at pits. There's 3 pits in Mina. What are these 3 pits that you see the Hujjaj throwing the stones in?
The Jamarat.
The Jamarat. What are the Jamarat? The Jamarat are these stone structures that represent the place where the shaitans came to Ibrahim, and Ibrahim pelted them. That's why we pelt and we say Allahu Akbar. Why do we say Allahu Akbar? We say Allahu Akbar, telling shaitan and teaching ourselves that Allah is greater. Allah is greater than me. Allah is greater than my son. Allah is greater than my desires. Allah is greater than what I want. Allah is greater than shaitan. Allah is greater than what shaitan wants. You teach yourself Allah is greater. That's why you pelt and you keep saying Allah is greater. Allah is greater. You teach yourself. Ibrahim was teaching himself, because no doubt when Shaytan was telling him this, he was thinking, yeah, my son. But then he was teaching himself, no, Allah is greater. Another Shaytan comes, 7 shots, 7 pelts. Allah is greater 7 times. Ibrahim teaches himself. A third Shaytan comes. Shaytan is not giving up. He's sending more Shaytans. Pelt again, 7 times. Saying Allah is greater. Whatever happens, Ibrahim is teaching himself that whoever puts Allah first, you will never ever finish last. Always put Allah first. Right? You might want a super big house, but Allah gives you a smaller house. Put Allah first. And you'll never finish last. Whatever Allah does, Allah does good. You might want a bigger car, but Allah gave you a smaller car. Put Allah first. Whatever Allah does, He does good. Sometimes you save up money to buy a big car or you buy a big house, and then you find some Muslims who need money. They're poor. So you take some of that money and you give it to them and you buy a smaller house. Now you wanted the bigger house, but who is greater?
Allah
is greater. You teach yourself that. I'm going to make Allah happy before I make myself happy. And when I know Allah is happy, then I'm going to be happy. That is what it is, boys and girls. That is what it is, brothers and sisters. So now Shaitan failed. And they get to the place in Mina where the sacrifice has to happen. And Ibrahim alayhi salam lays Ismail alayhi salam on the slab. And Ibrahim alayhi salam starts sharpening the knife. Now you can imagine, it's human nature. You want the knife to be sharp so that the cut is quick, right? Because if the knife is not sharp, then it's very hard to cut and it hurts more. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you slaughter the animals, you must have a sharp knife. Allah wants you to have a sharp knife so the cut is quick, right? It doesn't hurt the animal, right? So Ibrahim is sharpening the knife. Can you imagine what's going in his mind and his heart? Ismail is lying on the slab. Can you imagine what's going on in his mind and heart? And maybe you're thinking, Allah might tell me, khalas, you don't have to do it. Maybe. But he's still doing it. He's doing it. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting then. And he's reminding himself, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And during these days, look how much Allah wants us to learn this fact. Because Allah told us to recite the takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Everyone is saying they can't hear you, Ahmed. They want you to do it by yourself. Do it for them.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Ahmed generally has a soft voice drowned out by Abdullah and Khadija. So that's why maybe sometimes you don't hear him. But he's there. He's there, MashaAllah. So we repeat this takbir to teach ourselves, not just making sounds, to teach ourselves Allah is greater, Allah is greater. That's what we're doing. So Ibrahim is reminding himself, and no doubt Ismail is reminding himself. And nothing comes from Allah. So Ibrahim takes the knife and he puts it on the neck of his son. He puts it on the neck. He's thinking, maybe before I cut, Allah will tell me it's okay. You don't have to do it. But nothing's happening. And then he cuts. But the knife doesn't cut. The knife doesn't cut. Ibrahim, he cuts again. He wants to fulfill the command of Allah. Come on, get it over and done with. Let's go through it. The knife is not cutting. Allahu Akbar. The knife isn't cutting. It's sharp, but it's not cutting. And Ibrahim lives a lesson. That whoever is patient, you will get great things. And he learned a lesson which he learned when he was small. That the fire doesn't burn except with the permission of Allah. Fire is fire, but it only burns if Allah wants it to burn. Remember when he went in the fire didn't burn? Remember? He also learned that the knife can cut, but it only cuts with whose permission?
Allah.
Allah's permission. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than the fire. Allah is greater than the knife. Allahu Akbar. The knife is not cutting because Allah didn't make the knife cut. Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to Ibrahim. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ Allah says, when they both submitted to Allah, when the knife was on the neck cutting and the son was not complaining, they both passed the test of Allah. They submitted to the will of Allah. Subhanallah. Allah says, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا Ibrahim, you fulfilled the dream. You fulfilled the dream. Allah doesn't need your son. Allah can give you your son and give you more sons. It's not about your son. It's about taqwa. Are you going to do it because Allah told you to do it? And then Allah says, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ Allah brought a ram and told Ibrahim, sacrifice the ram. يَوْمُ النَّحَرِ The day of sacrifice. Sacrifice the ram. Subhanallah. And on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, which is our Friday, our day of Eid, 10th of Dhul Hijjah has two names, the day of Eid and the day of sacrifice, right? On that day, it's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that all of us sacrifice, right? That we all try and sacrifice if we can afford to, and we distribute the meat to the poor. I'm sure you guys see your parents arranging animals to be sacrificed and the meat is distributed to the poor, right? You guys see that where you guys come from? Your parents do this. Why do we do it? Because Ibrahim did it. And Allah loved it. And Allah says, لَا يَنَالَ اللَّهِ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَاكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ Allah says, it's not the meat or the blood of your sacrifice that reaches Allah, but it's the taqwa that reaches Allah. That you, Suratul Hajj, you're doing it because Allah told you to do it. And subhanAllah, boys and girls, guess what? Guess what? Ibrahim was ready to give Ismail to Allah. Allah gave Ibrahim back Ismail and gave him another son, Ishaq. Whoever gives something up for the sake of Allah, Allah will give them back better. Subhanallah. He had one son and he was ready to give that son for Allah. What did Allah do? Allah gave Ismail back and gave him Ishaq. وَمِن وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقِ يَعْقُوب And after Ishaq, Ya'qub came, the grandchildren of Ibrahim and all different grandchildren who were prophets. Remember we said Ibrahim became the father of the prophets. Allah honored Ibrahim. Allah honored Ibrahim. Allah honored Ibrahim. Why? Because of his amazing iman and his amazing Islam from when he was a young boy. Always putting Allah first. So this is the lesson of this Eid, boys and girls. When you have an Eid day and you're having Eid lunch, tell your family that the lesson of the days of Hajj and the lesson of the day of Eid is whoever puts Allah first, they will never ever finish last. And that brings us to the end of our Dhul Hijjah edition and today's episode. I pray you thoroughly enjoyed it. Subhanallah, our 3 days went by so fast, and I'm happy that Allah blessed us to do this together, but I'm sad because I'm going to miss you all again. But like we always do at the end of every Young Learners Hub series, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and preserve us in His obedience and to gather us again. And hopefully, inshallah, in the near future, we will have another Young Learners Hub announcement, and inshallah, another series with myself and Abdullah and Ahmed and Khadija and each and every one of you all. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Try your best to fast tomorrow. Try your best to fast tomorrow, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, or whenever the 9th is in your country. And remember to make dua for me and for my parents and for my family, which includes Ahmed and Abdullah and Khadija, who I know you all love learning in the Young Learners Hub together with. Until next time, boys and girls, please take care. MashaAllah. The Young Learners Hub team here says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you all. I say to you all also Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and I wish you all a happy, happy, blessed Eid.